Welcome to another episode of Working with Purpose. Our program's dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. My name is David Stark. I'm a business consultant and author, and I'm joined by Justin Royer, who's a strategist and a service designer and my co-host. We're glad you joined us today. We're actually doing a new series called What Is That? And we ended up doing a five-part series on artificial intelligence and really talking about it from hearing experts about it and also talking about what it's really going to mean in the future for our lives. And we're doing our best shot at it. Obviously, we don't have any kind of crystal balls around. We won't use those anyway, right? So anyway, you can join us online at the davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective, or you can listen to us. We have a LinkedIn group called Business Connected, but you can also get all of our podcasts on iTunes. Give us reviews. We'd love to do that. So Justin, why don't you tell us about Roomba?
Well, here's a question I have for you, Dave.
Okay.
Dave, do you like vacuuming?
I don't.
You don't? I assume, though, that you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Actually, I have somebody every 3 weeks come in and do my apartment, so.
Well, that's nice. I don't have that.
Okay.
But here's my deal. People have described me in the past, I think rightfully so, as someone that likes things neat and tidy.
Yes.
You know, I'm a designer by trade, and I like to shape fog, if you will. I like to, you know, turn chaos into organization.
Yes.
In all areas of my life.
Gotcha.
Including our home. And so as home duties go, I'm the cleaner of the household. And I tell you what, I love, and you mentioned it already, you let the cat out of the bag with Roomba.
Yep.
Right? And iRobot has one. But these little robotic vacuums are so fantastic. I'd never minded vacuuming in general because I get a sense of satisfaction of like seeing the stripes in the carpet afterwards.
Yes.
Like it feels good.
I understand that.
It feels good. But now with a Roomba, I can just hit a button and then all of a sudden all the Cheerios that are on the ground and all that stuff just kind of goes away and I'm freed up to do something else.
Yes.
And I love that. And so I'm super excited about this series talking about robotics because similar to AI, I tend to be optimistic on this topic in general, but I'm really looking forward to kind of exploring how robotics can help, you know, and add to our human lives. But and we'll also talk about some of the concerns we have, too. We're going to hit both sides of that coin.
Yes.
So I'm excited to jump in, and I just wanted everyone to know that I really love my Roomba vacuum because it makes my life easier.
Good. I have a good friend I want to tell you a story about that's currently in between his permanent job, right? So he as he's searching, he actually decided to work for Amazon down in Shakopee. You know, so he's down there kind of doing this work, and that's a way of getting some money. He works 4 10-hour days, and it gives him 3 full days to do other stuff. And so anyway, he's been down there a while, a couple of weeks. And they rotate you down there to different jobs, and then they rotated him in to what's called the picker duty.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Welcome to the picker.
I know, that's right. So you got to picture this building. It's 3 football fields long, and there's conveyor belts everywhere, right, doing this stuff. And then all of a sudden, the conveyor belt goes by, and they have to pick out of these conveyor belts whatever the box they're working on, right? So they have to pick them all out, get it right, get the box on, you know, so they keeps going by them. And so he started doing this, and, you know, he's trying to get good at this. And so, you know, he came home from the first day just exhausted, right, from this, because you're doing it 10 hours a day on your feet picking, right? And then all of a sudden he came in, and the guy told him, now, we want to get you up to 350 items per hour, 10 hours a day. And that's when he decided that long-term he wants to be paid for his mind and not for his brawn, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the reason I share that is this. Is there's a company out of Germany right now that is actually using robots to help slice meat and then pack them. But the packing's like the picking. You get different kinds of meats in different packages. And that robot can do 150 picks a minute or 9,000 picks an hour. Welcome to the robotic age.
Oh, man, that's nutty. I would love to see a video of that meat slicing robot and all the craziness that would ensue from that.
Yeah,
I will say, you know, if you want to, as one of our faithful listeners out there, if you want to see like some really cool Amazon robots, you can go out to YouTube now, and they have some really awesome ones. In fact, we'll put them in our show notes. But I found it, like, it's mesmerizing to watch these robots go. And back to kind of our Roomba discussion, they're like little Roombas that are on the ground, and they go under these, like, pallet-type things, pick them up, and then move them somewhere in concert. Like, you just see one after another kind of moving around the floor. It's just, I don't know. It was amazing. But it was also in that video they did, or in those videos, they do a good job of showing how those robots are helping actual humans do their job better, too.
Oh, that's great.
So you don't just see robots and nothing else. You see humans and the human interaction with that as well. And
yes,
you can see how it certainly takes some tasks off of humans' hands that they really wouldn't want anyway. But it is, it's mesmerizing, and we'll put a link to it in our show notes.
That's great. I do remember the Star Wars movie with all those little things going on the floor everywhere. Remember that? So they were kind of precursor to this whole stuff, right?
That's happening.
So anyway, let's take a moment, Justin, and kind of define what we mean by robotics, right? So, we're going to be doing a lot of programs on this and talk about what it means in the next 5 years in our personal lives as well as our business lives. And we'll define robotics as robots are machines that carry out complex set of actions, especially when they're replicating certain human movements. That's kind of our broad definition of what robots are going to be, right? So, and I want to put right away what the human body image here is, the muscular system. So realize that the robotics, arms, legs, whatever they are, they're really replacing or at least augmenting the muscular system of the human body, right? And we'll talk a lot about what that means along the way, but that's really what we're getting at here and kind of what that means. So sometimes they're going to complement us. Sometimes they're going to cooperate with us. And then there's sometimes where they're going to take over the tasks completely. Right.
Mm-hmm. Almost said take over the world there, didn't you?
Yeah,
you almost let it slip.
It was just right there, but I didn't.
Nope,
but
keep that contained for now.
No conspiracy theories
today. All right. Okay,
anyway, so, and of course, AI is attached to many of these, mm-hmm. right? And so there's, the things they do, their speed, they have sensors, the falling costs, the huge amount of data, all of that has brought robotics a long ways, mm-hmm. as we talked about also with AI, right? So robotics is in the military and industry already. So why not to send a robot to defuse a bomb rather than a person? I mean, that just makes sense to me.
I would sure prefer that.
Yeah, or rescue a colleague. I wonder if they're going to do it mm-hmm. in the theater, mm-hmm. where they're out there running, getting people and bringing them back. I wouldn't doubt it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's part of what it is. And originally, they were used for dirty tasks, for dangerous tasks, right? And for dull tasks nobody else wants to do, right? So, and you know, they're getting cheaper and more flexible and more energy efficient. They got a lot of flexibility. So responsibility and full sensing systems to boot. So on the business side, they're going to get, removing dangerous mines or filling custom orders or assisting with surgery, rehabilitation. They measure and deliver medication. They report the news. They drive the cars. You know, why would you use robots for all these things? Well, they're never late. They're never cranky. They're never unmotivated. They don't take bathroom breaks, right? They work consistently, accurately, tirelessly. They don't need time and they don't complain about their pay. They're not looking for a new job behind your back. They're not bickering with the boss. I mean, wow. I can understand why somebody might be attracted to a robot, right?
Sounds great. I mean, they'll probably get a robot to replace us for the show.
I'm worried about that.
Yeah, me too.
Right, so I'm not going to let them record too much of me because I won't be able to do my voice, right?
Oh, yeah. That's sneaky. Well, you know, and there is, Dave, too, and you kind of hinted to this, but there's a connection between robotics and AI. You know, our last series in What Is That was around artificial intelligence, and both robotics and AI kind of roll up into this larger ancestor, if you will, of computer science.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do share a lot of similarities, and we're going to be talking about similar themes too. You know, the good and evil potential of robotics is very similar to what we saw in AI,
mm-hmm.
But also the utility that they can provide is very similar too. And there are some that are kind of in-betweeners here, too, between AI and robotics. And as an example, some of our audience might be familiar with these, but like chatbots. Like now if you go to a website and you're looking for a customer service, instead of talking to a human right away, you might do an online chat with someone that's not even a person on the other end, but a chatbot. And that's using, essentially the digital form of a robot, personified individual that just has a lot of AI behind it. And they can quickly get you an answer a lot of times faster than a human can. So that's one example. But then also all these connected devices we have, like your video doorbell that sends you a notification when someone's at the front door. I mean, these Internet of Things things are like little mechanized robots with AI embedded. And so they kind of mix worlds. But again, as we talk about this series, it's not just straight, you know, walking, talking robots. It's all these other things as well. So a lot of exciting ground for us to cover.
I had a great example of this. I lost my phone, right? And I've got to find my phone on my iPad.
Oh, yeah.
But I found it. I left it at my locker. I have this locker. But my locker's got all kinds of junk in it, right? So I pushed the button, make the noise. Bam, that thing made the noise. I was out of there in 3 minutes.
Super that's, helpful.
Yeah.
Thank
that's
you,
Mr. Example, that old thing, right?
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Yes. So you're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. You can visit, join the conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us at Twitter at Stark Collective, and you can also get on iTunes to get our podcast. So let's keep going about this. You know, robots don't need a coffee break. We kind of mentioned this before here, but they don't need a lot of light. They don't need a lot of heat. They don't need music playing in the background when they're working, right? They don't eat. They don't sleep. They don't take vacations, right? They don't need disability insurance. They don't need 401ks, right?
This is why they're going to get mad and revolt on us, though, Dave.
Because they don't get this stuff.
They don't get the stuff. They're going to revolt because
exactly.
of it. Upheaval.
A lot of good Hollywood movies about that, right? So anyway, they right now, in many cases, they lower costs.
Mm-hmm.
They raise efficiency and productivity. In certain areas, they're much faster than human productivity increases, right? So this is just an example. I didn't know that the Phillips razor blades, right, that we use, they're made by 128 robots working together, and there's only 9 quality control people in the whole plant.
Yeah.
They're cranking these puppies out as fast as, right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I knew a guy in town. I can't remember the product, but he basically had one console guy and the rest was robots in terms of what he was making.
That's nuts.
Right.
You know, Dave,
it's hard to give a motivational speech to him, though, you know, kind of work faster, understand the purpose, right?
Lands on deaf ears.
It does.
But here's the deal. You talked about this, and you just made hint to it again, too. And, you know, right before we go to break here, I want to talk about how appreciative I am of these robots that do dirty jobs.
Yep.
Remember Mike Rowe, the guy that did the show Dirty Jobs? It's fantastic if you haven't seen it. But anyway, there's some robots out there that are doing this as well. And, for example, a couple of quick ones that I'm sure glad I'm not doing, and I'm glad robots do. Like sewer inspector, sending a little robot down to look in the grum and the grime of the sewers and all the stuff that's down there. I mean, humans shouldn't have to do stuff like that. And robots do that really, really well. Bathroom floor cleaner, again, back to my Roomba example. They have some that are specific for bathrooms.
That's nice.
It's very nice.
Especially, get that for your wife.
Oh, man. Well, again, I'm the cleaner in the household, Dave,
right.
So I'm going to get it for myself. This is a gift to myself. And then even for, like, vet medicine education, this one's almost not safe for work, but there are robots out there where you can simulate the back end of a cow. So if you're a vet and you have to do things in that nether region, you can get some good quality practice time in without, you know, being kicked and whatever. And anyway, that's a dirty job that you know, a vet ultimately needs to do, but it's made a little less dirty by being able to practice on a robot.
I gotcha.
We'll just leave it at that.
Maybe they're going to get a robot that does whole things at some point.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, folks. Well, this has been great. We're going to come back in about a minute, and we're going to talk about 5 categories of helpful robots, as well as the implications of robots on modern business. If you're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer, we'll be right back.
Thank you very much, Mr. Robot.
You're listening to Working with Purpose, a program dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business, and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. We'll get back to more in a moment. First, I want to remind you of the opportunity to dialogue with David and Justin on these important topics. You can join the conversation, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events and offerings, and more through their website, davidstarkcollective.com. It's davidstarkcollective.com, or find them on Twitter at Stark Collective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to working with purpose, and will help you go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. They team up together to advise and consult with businesses, organizations, and ministries. Find out more by going to davidstarkcollective.com and opening either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. Now, let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Please visit and join the conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter, at Stark Collective. You can join our LinkedIn group called Business Connected. You can also listen to all of our podcasts and write a review on iTunes. So let's jump right back in. We're starting the topic of robotics. What is that, robotics? And the first half, we got just into kind of the basics of what robotics is and some of the expansive things that are happening today. But we want to look at five categories that are going to be important to business in terms of how they might apply this in their own company situations. And the first one is what it's going to mean to high labor costs. And so in the first part of the show, we talked about basic definition. And now we want to unpack what these implications are. And the high labor cost areas, robots can either take over the labor in these arenas or complement workers, which ups the revenue per employee in a lot of cases, right? So I just want to, why don't you talk about, first of all, let me talk about the overseas thing. Because what this does is it flips the fact that when we went to China, that's because the labor costs were lower. It all went overseas, right? Because you could send it to them digitally. They could return it much cheaper labor costs. The problem is that it may go the other direction. Because now the labor cost of a robot is less than what it is to get it over there and ship it. Pretty soon you got jobs coming the other way. China's actually responding to that right now. So
right. You know, and just think about like car manufacturing too. I think we've all seen those robotic arms that make cars now. But if you look at, one of the Dodge Chrysler plants that's in Illinois, they house 1,000 robots. And they do still have 2,000 to 3,000 employees, so it's not like there's no humans walking around. There's still plenty of humans, but 1,000 machines, 1,000 robots used to make a car, which is just amazing. Even on a smaller scale, my wife, who owns a bath product business,
yes,
started a handful of years ago making everything by hand, selling it on Etsy. Now she's one of the bigger sellers on Amazon only because she's used robotics now to help her manufacturing and her supply chain. She couldn't make up that volume without it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know she went there.
Oh, yeah.
What's the name of that company again?
It's called Two Sisters Spa, Dave. People can find her at twosisterspa.com.
Yeah, we're unapologetic about that. All right. So anyway, let's go to the second one, which has to do tasks people can't, won't, or shouldn't do, right? So a lot of the top thinkers are thinking, we're just going to liberate us from these kind of duties, right? And so the one I think of, by the way, Justin, is that bomb exploder I told you about.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't want to clear the mines. I don't want to go out there and find out that there's an IUD as a person.
Yeah, no.
So just send them out in front of the military, right? I'd rather explode the robot, and if it's built right, it won't even explode the robot. They just go out there and blow up these things, save a lot of lives. That's a great one.
Agreed. We talked about sewer inspections too. I'd put
yes,
that in this category,
yep.
Right? I don't want to do that either. But the other category too, like something that humans really can't do well, this category of micro robots being used in healthcare and medicine a lot, those mm-hmm. little itty bitty microscopic robots that can go up your arteries and stuff and fix things inside you. Pretty amazing stuff that's going on in micro robotics now. And again, it's not because we don't want to do it. We're too big. We can't fit into another human like that and go up their veins. So
yes.
Little micro robots do that way better than we do.
Someday there's going to be a job that's going to be microbot human, tracker.
Yeah.
So you're tracking
right.
All the robots in your veins.
That's
at the
right.
Moment.
You can do that with your smartphone.
Cleaning.
It'll be super fun. It's like a game.
That's great. So the third category is this. It's called human skills gaps in parts of the world. So what this means is that as in this VUCA world, our volatile, uncertain world, what happens is because of the speed of change, certain places on the planet, cities, et cetera, are known for certain capabilities, right? And all of a sudden, those sets of capabilities may go obsolete, but they may really need a set of capabilities that aren't within miles, right? And the idea of hiring people, sometimes it's just hard to really get them, right? So some of those can become robotic. So I can make the decision to invest in a set of robots, right, which is more permanent on some levels than having just to train and build those capabilities. You're going to see that kind of stuff happening in all over the world in places where they really need to have that. So that's kind of the third category here that we're going to see. So we'll talk about the implications of that next week in a big time. So let's go to the fourth topic, and that's mission critical applications that require precision. When I was thinking about this in small places, I was thinking about we talked about how they help with surgery, but you can imagine robots whose fine tuning with their hands, if you will, fingers, is better than the best person. And going in and be able to cell by cell, I mean, I'm sure this is going to happen big time, right? And how, what they can do inside the human body as opposed to what a hand might do as it's linked to tools. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we're going to see that. The other one's going on right now has the electronic chip production,
mm-hmm.
Because they can go in there in very small levels. And of course, the chips are really small in terms of what the actual stuff is on the chip.
Yes.
So I'm sure they're trying to get, that would be hair-like or less.
Oh, yeah, way less. And as I was looking into this, Dave, I mean, back in 2014, the University of Michigan built not only a really super small microchip, but an entire whole functioning computer that, get this, is less than a cubic millimeter in size.
Oh.
An entire computer that small.
Unbelievable.
And obviously human hands can't make that happen.
Right.
So that's using robotics in order to make these miniaturized things, not just the chips themselves, but even these computers. In fact, the term I loved, it's called smart dust because it's just so small. But
wow.
Again, it takes robotics to make things like that.
Yeah, this is just amazing, aren't they? So the number five that we want to talk about that's going to happen is highly complex supply chains. So they're already talking about being able to link together supply chains. So you can imagine a set of robots packing something that's already happening, right? And they're shipping it. Well, they go out on trucks that are being driven by robots, and they show up to, the containers are going to go on ships, and there's robots that are, filling the containers, and the containers are lifted by robots onto the ships. I don't know if the ships are going to be driven by robots, but the ships sail, right? And on the other end, they've got them coming off the same way, loading on the truck. Pretty soon, you've got robots happening almost from the set of packing all the way to unpacking, or maybe they're even going to unpack it on the other end, right? So complex supply chains is a place that where there's easy to put in various kinds of robots and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive into the consumer side before we stop today. And that is, it's going to be happening all over the place. And I don't know if you remember, the program dates me, but it's called Jetsons.
Mm-hmm.
And when George came home, there were so many consumer robots, taking his slippers and giving him pipe and all this stuff. That's right. Remember that? And so anyway, I can see a robot gently waking you in the morning, helping you take a shower and clothes, got them picked out already, got a personal assistant all day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sit down to a computer, order your breakfast, your coffee, it's already in front of you when you show up, right? So they're already cleaning your house. They can mow your lawns. They can mop your floors. They can clean your gutters. They can tutor your children, right? They can provide home surveillance and security around the house. They'll act as companions with kids getting home or completely controlling every aspect of the environment in the house. The heat, the light, the appliances, right? They're even being used as helpful for seniors who have memory gaps. So they're smart enough to say, this is what we're doing and kind of what's happening today. That's pretty powerful, right? So there's such a vast number of ways that the muscular system, you will, is being taken over by robots. And the other advantage of all this is there's no limit to two hands. I don't know if you remember Twilight Zone, but there's a Twilight Zone I want to close with here. That they were, there's two different populations had landed on Earth disguised as humans to take over the world. And they decided to team up. So one guy's sitting in a stool. He's got kind of a chef's hand on. He's talking. He pushes up his chef hat and there's a third eye that he has, right? And so there you see that he's obviously from another place. And as they're talking, the other guy, he's, just drinking his coffee, and all of a sudden his third arm comes around and he's beginning to manipulate stuff. My point is they can have all kinds of appendages. They just don't have two. In fact, many of them have six or seven happening simultaneously, right? So we're going to have a great time having to talk all about this and kind of what it's going to mean going forward. And next week, specifically, we're going to be looking at what does this mean to jobs? So How do we live these tensions? And how do I prepare for the fact that there's going to be applications? There's going to be robots around us all the time in the next 5 years. And so how do I begin to live my life relative to that, both in terms of vocationally? We'll talk also a little bit about what that means personally. And so what's going to be happening in our homes and happening in our cars and happening all these different places in terms where you're going to see the robot. Then a couple weeks after that, we're actually going to talk to people that are doing this already. We've got great leaders lined up who are going to help us actually learn what they're doing right now and what businesses it's already making a huge difference in the Twin Cities. So stay tuned for all of that. We're glad you tuned in today. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Once again, you can go to davidstarkcollective.com. All of our podcasts are there. You can go to the back series on AI if you want to, or any other things that we have along the way. You can also go give us a tweet at Stark Collective. You can also see us on iTunes. Thanks for listening.